Well, amen. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Titus, chapter 1. And we will begin reading there, but I'm going to tell you up front, we're not going to be in Titus most of this morning. I'll describe to you what's going on in Titus, chapter 1. And as we looked at this a couple of weeks ago, we were in Titus 2, looking at the beauty of a grace-filled woman. We will look in a couple of weeks here at the strength of a grace-filled man. And so that's coming up. But we want to go back and just briefly touch on this. But I think as I was praying about this week, where the Lord would have us land is in Luke chapter 18 today. So if you would stand with me in honor of God's word, we're going to start here in Titus, and then we're going to jump to Luke. Paul is talking to Titus, and he's already told him what the responsibilities or what the requirements for an elder or a pastor are. And now in the second half of chapter 1, he's telling him what the responsibilities are. And so he says here in Titus 1, verse 10, "There are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things that they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain." In other words, they were teaching things so that they could have some money in their pocket. "One of them, a prophet of their own, said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work." Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, we come before You this morning recognizing that we are in need of You, that it is completely Your work, and not ours, that we trust in. It's the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's His salvation, His justification, His mercy, and His grace. And Lord, I pray this morning that You would take these next few moments, that You would take Your word, and that You would apply it to our hearts by Your Holy Spirit, that You would encourage us, that You would strengthen us, and that You would empower me to preach what You once said. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So what Paul is addressing is something that he had to address quite often. He's saying in the island of Crete, people have strayed from the gospel. They've gotten away from the central theme of the gospel. They've done that by listening to people that are coming in, and they are teaching a gospel based on works. They're teaching a gospel based on some sort of further knowledge or higher understanding of what was really being said, and thereby saying, if you really want to be saved, you've got to be part of our group. They're teaching it based on a desire for personal profit at the hands of the true believers. And Paul says to Titus, there are many like this, your task is big, so therefore you must, first of all, preach the gospel. He said that before. Teach the things that make for sound doctrine. That's preach the gospel. Stick to the gospel is what he's saying. Preach truth. But secondly, you have to rebuke error when it comes in. Now, what I want to do by way of illustration this morning is let's go to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 18. And I want us to see three different errors that can creep in and distort the gospel message. What is the gospel message? That Christ came to this earth, was born of a virgin, that he lived a perfect life, that he died a sacrificial death for you and for me, that his blood paid the price, and that our sin was placed upon him, that he was buried, and that 3 days later, he rose again gloriously from the grave, conquering sin, death, and hell. And therefore, he now sits at the right hand of God, and one day he's coming again. That's the gospel. That we can have eternal life through faith in him. Now, these people were coming in, and they were distorting it. And I got to tell you, brothers and sisters, this happens today all the time. There are distortions taking place all the time of the gospel, and they can take different forms. Sometimes the forms aren't exactly the same as they were back then. But the end result is the same, and that's to distract from Jesus, to distract from what he did. And so let's look at Luke chapter 18. Three different things happen. First of all, Jesus tells this parable. Look in verse 9. It says, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. You see that? They trusted in their own works. If you want to miss the gospel, if you want to miss out on the kingdom, the first thing you do is you trust your own works. You trust in what you've done. You believe that what I have done is somehow going to make me more acceptable before God. And pretty soon, very quickly, you begin to, because you don't want to use God's righteous standard, you begin to use other people as a standard. And so here's what Jesus said. He said, there's this man that came in. He was we'll call him a proud Pharisee. He says, two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee. The other was a tax collector, somebody that's despised. We despise them even today, right? Everybody loves April 15th. Thankfully, most of us don't have somebody knocking at our door saying, hey, it's time to pay your taxes. But that's what these guys were. They would show up and they would be the agents from the IRS and say, hey, you got to pay, and you got to pay it right now or you're in trouble. Nobody liked them. And so here's this Pharisee who is an upstanding citizen, and he comes in and he stands to pray. And the scripture says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Oh, he directed it towards God, but he is really talking to himself. And here's what he said. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, especially like this tax collector over here. You see that? You ever heard somebody stand up to pray, and they go on, and they're really praying for appearances, but they're not really praying to God? Have you ever done that? Well, I'm sure we could all find a time that we've been guilty of that, but here's the thing. This man believes and trusts in his own works, and he lists them off. He knows them well. All his good works. He says, I'm not like these. They extort, they're unjust, they're adulterers, and that's true, they were. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of everything I possess. He goes and he starts to recount everything he's done. You notice what he's doing? He's comparing himself to somebody else. And he's saying, I am so much better than them. Surely, God, you'd be pleased with me. Why, look at everything that I've done. You know, that's a distortion of the gospel that takes place even today. You go and you ask somebody, well, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, why, you know, if you stand, after you die, you stand before the Lord, and let's say he asks you this question, why should I let you into heaven? You know what most of the time they're going to say? Well, I've tried to live a good life, or some form or fashion of that. Or I'm not like those other people, or they'll even say, I'm not like some of the people that go to your church. Right? They'll say something along those lines where what they're doing is they're talking about their own work. But Jesus said that the tax collector standing a far way off beat his breast. He wouldn't even lift his eyes up to heaven. He bowed his head and he says, have mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What does he recognize? The things that this guy has just said, I am all that and more. Martin Luther said this. He said, the devil comes to you and says that you're a sinner worthy of hellfire. You know what I say? Amen. That's absolutely true. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. That's absolutely true. I don't disagree, but because of Jesus, because of what Jesus has done, because I know the Lord Jesus Christ has died and taken my place, thank God I'm not destined for that. Amen? And so, if you want to miss the gospel, focus on your work to make you righteous before God. But if you want to catch the gospel, what you do is you recognize, like this publican, this tax collector, you recognize that you are a sinner in need of God's mercy, that you have nothing that you can bring save only coming to the cross. Lord, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to that cross I cling. That's the heart of the gospel. And here's what Jesus said. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. The way to the kingdom is through humility, not pride. It's through recognizing I'm a sinner. I'm fallen. And all of us recognize that, don't we not? What it takes is honesty, saying, Lord, forgive me. Be merciful to me. I do not even deserve the least of your mercies, but be merciful to me, a sinner. That is the heart of the gospel. That's what Paul was instructing Titus to preach in the island of Crete. But there's a second distortion of the gospel that you see here in Luke chapter 18 that Jesus corrects. Go a little bit further. In verse 15, then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. Can you imagine? People bringing their children to Jesus. People wanting to get their little children in front of Jesus just so he had a moment to touch them and to bless them and to show them the love that he had for them. And here, those that are closest to Jesus, that should know better than anybody else his heart, are saying, no, not right now. This is not the right time. This is more important time. That you can't bring them in right now. This is you're gonna bother him. Keep them away. They're a distraction. In one of the other gospels, I believe it's Mark, it actually says that Jesus was angry with his disciples. He was indignant. Here in verse 16, it says, but Jesus called them to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for as such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child or like a little child with childlike faith is what he's saying, will by no means enter it. You want to miss the gospel? You want to miss the kingdom of heaven? Here's what you do. You make it more complicated than it is. You begin to say it's only for those who really understand, who really comprehend, who really have this special insider's track and knowledge. Now, the disciples may not have understood that that's what they were doing, but that's what was being set up by their actions. Their actions were saying only certain people can come to Jesus, but other people that maybe aren't quite as important can't come to Jesus. Maybe they're not quite ready yet. You know what? I'm sure the disciples meant well, but the reason Jesus rebuked them, remember, he loved them too. The reason he rebuked them is because that there was something wrong in their heart and how they were understanding his purpose. He rebuked them because they were missing the whole purpose for which he came. And that was to seek and to save those who are lost, right? And so they were missing that purpose. They were missing out on really the blessing of seeing others come to Christ. I'm going to confess something to you this morning. I've stood before people and I've witnessed to them, and in my heart I have thought, there's no way this person is either ready or is even hearing anything that I'm saying. Oh, I've hoped. But Brother Scott, I've done that. I remember a time just last year, I walked up, I knocked on a somebody's house, a little boy came out. I started to witness to him. The father came out, and I'm thinking, the way he looked, the way he looked when I was talking, he's not hearing a word I'm saying, but maybe at least the little boy. And I got all the way to the invitation, and I said, is that something you'd like to receive? And to my shock and surprise, guess what? The father said, yes. And then the little boy followed. You know, that said something to me. Don't ever prejudge somebody. Don't ever think that they can't receive the gospel or that they're not ready yet. You don't know what God's doing in their heart. See, the power of the gospel is not in you or in your words or in me or in my words or witness. The power of the gospel is in Jesus and what he's done. And when somebody hears that message, the Holy Spirit moves in, begins to do a work in their heart. You just let him do his work. Listen, don't make it more complicated than it is. Right? Don't sit there and don't ever say, I'm not going to share with that person because they just don't look like they're ready. You know what the Lord taught me that day? That's not my place to decide. And it's not your place either. The gospel is simple, folks. It's so simple a child can understand it. That's what Jesus was saying. That except you come like a little child, as a little child, what that means is with childlike faith. How does a child come? A child doesn't come bringing anything of their own merit. They don't have any great history of great works that they've done. Oh, they come simply. A child comes with trust, simply believing the one that they're coming to. A child comes completely dependent on the one that they're bringing, that they're coming to. They don't come with any of their own baggage. Oh, yes, they're still a sinner. We know that, don't we? But guess what? They have just as much need of a Savior as you and I. And God's able to do just as much work in their heart and bring them to salvation. Amen? And so, don't ever prejudge somebody. That's my encouragement to you today. I want to give you this illustration. I want to remind you of it. Everybody take your cell phone out real quick. We're going to do something. I know you've got them. Take them out. Pull them out. I want to give you a real simple illustration. I want you to walk through it with me, okay? Because I want you to be prepared. This is just one little way that you could share the gospel with somebody. And I'm going to share this one with you because this is what that day I was telling you about that guy that I thought, oh, he's not hearing. Is this very little illustration that when I got to the end, he said, yes. You ready? Take your cell phone out. Hold one hand that doesn't have your cell phone in it. Hold it up here. This represents God. Say, this hand represents God. He's holy. He's righteous. He's just. This hand represents me. Put your other hand down here. All right? This cell phone represents everything I've done. Everything good, everything bad. Has a record of everything that I've ever done. All right. There we are. I'll say this. My sin separates me from a holy God. I can't get around it. I can't get through it. He can't let sin into his presence. So what does God do? He sent his son, Jesus, to become a man. You don't have to repeat this part. You just remember it. He came down to earth, became a man, lived a sinless life, then went to the cross. And the Bible says that, say this with me, God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What that means is that God took my sin and it put him on Jesus at the cross. And he was buried. He went into the ground. 3 days later, he rose again. You put your cell phone back in your pocket. He paid the penalty for my sin. He rose again, and now, and then he ascended back to heaven. And now, what separates me from God? Nothing. All I have to do is receive him by faith. He offers himself. And that's what Jesus was saying. You see that simple little illustration? And then you simply finish it with saying, is that something that you would like to have? Would you like to have forgiveness of sin? Would you like to be saved? I didn't think that man was going to respond that day. But God knew better. You see, that simple little illustration is the simplicity of the gospel. That it's so simple, a child can understand it, but it's so deep. It's so profound that the greatest theologian can spend their lifetime studying it and never reach its bottom. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. You want to miss the gospel? Make it more complex than it really is. You want to miss the gospel? Make it about your self-work rather than Christ's work. No, we receive it by coming as sinners. We receive it by coming simply to Christ in faith. Now look at one last illustration and we'll close. Verse 18 in Luke chapter 18 says, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Ah, here's a great man. Here's the great question. Here is the question of all time. How can I be assured that I am going to have eternal life? Isn't that the question? We all know we're going to die. What happens after death? That's the question. How can I be assured of eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? You know what he was driving at? There's nobody good but one, that's God. That's what he said. Only God is good. But the man's question is, what can I do to have eternal life? So Jesus tests him. He says, you know the commandments. You want to know what you can do? Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't murder. Don't bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. This man said, I've done all this from my youth. You see, he thought that by his works he could get to God, right? So when Jesus heard this, he says, you still have one thing. Sell all that you have, distribute it to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. You read that, somebody may say, well, okay, well, that's what you have to do. You have to just give everything away, right? That's what that man heard. I have to give everything away. By the way, would that be too small a price to pay for eternal life? Well, if you said, what do I do so that I can have eternal life? You give it all away. Sit down, buddy. But that's not the point. The point is, he wanted eternal life on his terms. He wanted eternal life while keeping all the treasure of this world as well. In other words, what he wanted was his best life now. He wanted the world, and he wanted assurance for later on. But here's what Jesus says. He's testing him, you see. What he's driving at is, who do you really love? What is it that you really desire? And he got to the heart of it. He got to what this man really worshipped. And what was it? Some would say it was money. No, what this man really worshipped was himself. He worshipped what all these things could afford him. What he didn't want was Jesus. You know, Jesus was not saying, okay, here's a system, here's the steps. Okay, do the commandments, and then once you've done the commandments, go a little bit further, and you've got to be really, if you're really generous, then you'll have eternal life. That's not what Jesus was saying. What Jesus was saying is he was using the law to show the man that he was not perfect, that he needed a Savior. This man thought he was perfect. Verse 23, when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Then Jesus said, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of heaven? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And those who heard it said, then who can be saved? But then Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Let me sum it up this way. What this man did not want, he wanted salvation, but he didn't want Jesus. He wanted salvation, but on his terms. If you want to miss the gospel, leave Jesus out of it. Make it about the good things you've done. Make it even about your charity. Make it about all these things, but don't have Jesus at the heart of it. What was it that the man really didn't want? He did not want to come follow Jesus. The gospel is simply this, folks. The gospel is understanding that I'm a sinner, that I need a Savior. The gospel is understanding that I come simply by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not by my works. And this gospel is that I come to Jesus. That was the message. Come, follow me. The gospel is what God does in your heart, not what you do for yourself. The people in Crete were in danger of distorting the gospel. Many of them were listening to teachers that were distorting the gospel. And Titus's task was to simply preach the simple truth of the gospel, that it's not about your works, it's not about my works, it's about Jesus' work, that it's not about some complex system that we get in and we do all these hurdles, it's about simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that even a child can believe. And it's not about my way to earn my way to heaven, it's about simply coming and following Christ. Following him for salvation, and then joyfully as a believer saying, Lord, all I have is what you've given me. Thank you, Lord. I'll follow you. You see, he paid the price, as we sung earlier today. Jesus paid it all, right? All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Would you stand with me this morning? Brother and sister in Christ, if I leave you with nothing else this Memorial Day weekend, I want you to go knowing the gospel. I know you know it. But I want you also to go saying, Lord, help me never to stray from the simplicity that's in Jesus. Help me to stay fast to just the simple thing that it's solely what he did for me, and that, Lord, yes, I just want to follow you. I want to follow you. I want to walk with you. I want to come to you and receive from you. Jesus gave a promise to his disciples. He said, no man that's left everything and followed me is going to be without so much more. You see, when you follow Jesus, when you come to him by faith, when you receive him by faith, what you find is so much more than anything this world could offer. You find a Savior, you find a friend who sticks closer than a brother in any time. Amen? If you don't know that this morning, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as Savior, don't leave without that. You're here this morning, you do know him as Savior. Leave rejoicing. And then leave saying, Lord, show me somebody that I can share the gospel with, even this week. Show me somebody that I can encourage and say, listen, here's what Jesus did for me. wasn't anything I did. It's what he did for me. I simply received it like a little child. And then trust God to give you the boldness to open your mouth and to share it. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as Savior.